Hi, this is Luther Vandross.
Hi, we're the Go-Go's.
Happy holidays from all of us at Nick at Night.
Hi, this is Jimmy Jameson of Survivor.
This is Russell Hitchcock of Air Supply. You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very happy to have Mike from Vista Blue back with us again this year. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Ken. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am great. Getting ready for Halloween slash, you know, Thanksgiving slash Christmas. We're getting there now.
Yeah, it is getting really close. And happy anniversary to you guys. 10 years this year, right?
This is our 10th year. So, yeah. So when you know, opening day next year would be, that's like the 10th.
Okay.
10th year since our first release, right? So this is year 10. We're in year 10, yeah.
Okay. If you aren't familiar with Vista Blue or you haven't heard Mike on our podcast before talking about it, Vista Blue is a rock band based in Nashville, rooted in New Orleans. I believe there's a Cincinnati connection.
Yeah, my brother lives in Cincinnati, and so just when we first started, he was helping me a lot. He still pitches in sometimes. Sometimes I'll steal songs that he wrote and, you know, use them for us. But yeah, so I got a brother in Cincinnati, and our bass player is now in Atlanta, and I still have friends that pitch in from New Orleans. And it's kind of Vista Blue can be kind of a collective sometimes. So a lot of times it's just me and Mark, then we'll add Reese and Pat for the live show. But then, you know, I've got friends all over that I'll go, hey, can you do a guitar here? And they'll jump in. So yeah, it's more of a collective sometimes.
And you guys have done, not to pigeonhole you, but you've done lots of Halloween songs, lots of Christmas songs, and lots of baseball songs. And I think the baseball came first, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how we started. Well, I mean, just because I had a bunch of baseball songs, because I was friends with the Euchres, a baseball band. And I was kind of not doing music, and they really excited me. And I said, I'm going to write some baseball songs for you guys. And they didn't need them. They had a bunch of songs. And so I was like, all right, I'll just play music again. And we'll start with, I had like 20 baseball songs. And so in 2015, we just started. And that's what we did for, you know, our first three releases were all baseball. And so it was funny because we were doing like these interviews and people were going, you know, you're a baseball fan. We're like, nah, we're not. You'll see. It was a funny year.
The first thing that you guys released this year was an EP back in January called Somebody's Favorite Band that didn't have baseball, Christmas, or Halloween on it.
Yeah, it was like January 1st, you know, just come out with something different to start the new year. Yeah, that was just a fun thing that we did.
But the baseball didn't take long. Help Me Ron came out. That was in the summer.
Help Me Ron, yeah. I guess for the All-Star break, yeah.
Okay. And that was getting back into the swing of things, so to speak, no pun intended, five baseball tracks there, and then no baseball at the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, it was like right after our baseball EP, we had to do that one too, because there was no baseball, you know, at the Summer Olympics.
Yeah. And then came an EP that was kind of like cover songs, Be Good, came out shortly after that with The Cure, Lightning Seeds. I don't remember who the other two were.
Waxahachie, which was
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The title track.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Devin, she does a live prank call show that I listen to every week, and it's amazing and so much fun. Even my downtimes, I can depend on her every Wednesday night, and we have a lot of fun every Wednesday. And she reached out and she was like, "Hey, you guys need to cover this," like a year ago. And I actually didn't know the song too well. A lot of my friends did, and I loved it. And so we added it. And then there's a Lemon Demon cover on there, which is nothing like anything we sound like. It's my daughter's favorite band. She's 15. She's in high school. And I wanted to do a song for her that she listens. She likes us too. But she really loves this Lemon Demon. And so that song is funny because it's As Your Father, I Expressly Forbid It. So it's like me talking to her, kind of, you know, it was fun.
And then came Vista Blue or the Pop Punk Preservation Society, which had your second or third song about Bandcamp.
That's our third Bandcamp Friday. Yeah, that's our third song about Bandcamp Friday. Yes.
Yeah, nobody told me it was Bandcamp Friday.
Which is, so it's like a sequel to our Bandcamp Friday songs, but also a sequel to the song that I covered by Rusty, my Christmas podcast co-host, who wrote the song Nobody Told Me It Was Christmas. And so we covered that a few years ago. And so this Bandcamp song, Bandcamp Friday song, is like a double sequel to our Bandcamp Friday songs, but also Rusty's Nobody Told Me It Was Christmas, which Vista Blue also covered. So yeah, that was fun.
And now, just last week, you have a new Halloween EP out. They Came Back. Four tracks on it. One cover of the Ministry's Every Day's Halloween, and then three other originals, right?
Yeah, yeah. That Ministry song was just one I grew up with. So back in April, I was going to do a covers EP, and it was going to have that Cure song and that Lightning Sea song and an Echo and the Bunnymen song and that Ministry song. And it was going to be funny to do a Halloween song in April. And this year's just, it was crazy. Didn't get as much done just because of work stuff and life. So by the time we got to the covers EP, it was like September. So I was like, well, I need to hold the Ministry song. And Echo and the Bunnymen got cut, and we added the Waxahachie and the Lemon Demon instead. So we've had Ministry sitting there since April. And it's been one that people have really responded well to. And it was, I'm glad I finally got to do it. It's been one of my favorite songs for, over 30 years. So, yeah. And then the three originals are kind of like a throwback to when we used to do the Urban Legends tracks, like in 2017 and 2018, like scary songs. And so we did one about a haunted house, and we did one about Graveyard, which is the kind of the title track, He Came Back. That's when I went to college in 1995. I went to freshman orientation. I was at Southeastern Louisiana in Hammond, Louisiana. And I didn't know anyone. I met some locals. And one of the first things they told me was this legend about this cemetery out in, I think it was Springfield. And it was like miles away from school. And supposedly this boy was killed in a hit and run. And no one knew who did it. And they had the funeral. And the story that the girl told me and everybody there was that after the funeral that night, something happened to the tombstone. And when people showed up the next day to the site, it had the hit and run scene engraved on the back of the tombstone. And it took us, I don't know, a few months, but finally I got a bunch of people together and we went out to the cemetery. It was like at night. And again, this is 95 or 96, and it's dark, and we don't have GPS, we don't have flashlights, not on our phones, but one little flashlight. There were three cars of us, and only one other person, my cousin, would go in with me. We hopped the fence, and everybody else stayed out in their cars, and we stumbled around this graveyard in the dark, and we finally found it. We found this tombstone, and it had all the stuff on the back, just like we were told. It was really creepy, and it was there. And so I didn't know. Now it turns out, I posted on our Facebook the other day when I posted the song, the YouTube videos now explain it. I guess they knew who did it or whatever. And the parents wanted to put this on back of the tombstone, couldn't get it done in time for the funeral, had the funeral, then had it pulled up and had this engraved. Or maybe it was like a picture. I think it was just a picture that the boy had drawn, actually. It had nothing to do with the accident or something. There's some explanation. But the urban legend that I was told was a lot more fun, and we didn't have YouTube back then to spoil it for us, So that's where that song comes from. He Came Back.
Yeah, the legends are almost always more fun than the reality.
YouTube ruined it. Yeah. I enjoyed telling that story for, 20 something years, and then found it on YouTube a couple of years ago, the actual explanation, which wasn't nearly as fun. It's still cool. It's a cool story. And the fact that there are quite a few YouTube videos to go out there and investigate it, it shows that like that legend was a big deal in that area, and that was really cool to kind of hear that, go out there. It was funny that these, late teens, I guess 18, 19, 20 year olds, no one would go. No one would come in there with me except for one person. Yeah, it was fun.
And then there's Let's Scare Jessica to Death, which is a movie that came out, God, 50, 60 years ago, maybe?
It's like 71. And all right. So on Snow in Southtown, this is my Christmas podcast I do with Rusty. All year, this whole year, we're doing the 70s. We felt like the 70s, for whatever reason, is the most neglected of the decades within the Christmas podcast community. And it probably just because of quality, right? Just of stuff available. But I had been getting into the last couple of years Spotify playlist that had 60s and 70s music on it, Christmas music, and I had been getting into that. And so I was like, this year let's just do it. And Rusty was with me. And so in the spring, you know, at Easter we did a 70s thing, and in the summer we did a 70s thing. And so here at Halloween on my blog every year, on the Snow and Southtown blog, I do horror movies every week, at least two, where I just talk, I watch them and talk about them. So this year was all 70s. And so I had my friend John. We had done a horror podcast, short lived. It was called After Midnight, a couple of years ago. And I got John. You know, I was going to do one with Rusty. We did Texas Chainsaw Massacre a couple of weeks ago. But Rusty's not as into horror as I am. I don't want to keep making him do horror. But I wanted to do one more for Halloween. So I asked my friend John if he wanted to pick one of these 70s movies I was watching. And he picked Let's Scare Jessica to Death. And so we did a podcast. It's on, you can go check out Snow in Southtown in September. We did this episode. And John's a songwriter. He's in a band called Kelsey Bad Grammar. And John and I have written a few songs. John helped me write a song about Candyman. He actually helped me write a Bandcamp Friday song, Bandcamp Friday the 13th. So we're big horror fans. We're both songwriters. So we're doing this episode about Let's Scare Jessica to Death. And I'm like, well, you know, one of us has to write a song. And I reach over here and I grab my guitar and I just start playing and I start singing like a chorus. And he jumps in. And right after we stop recording, this is all on the podcast. You can hear it. When we stop recording, he sent me like a voice memo with some stuff he came up with off the top of his head. And I turned it all into a song, and it's on the Vista Blue EP. Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
Yeah, that's one you don't hear about that movie very often.
We were saying, I told John this year, for whatever reason, after I picked it, I probably set up this list in July or August, right? And I mean, I just see it all the time. Now, I'm in a lot of horror circles. I did my main horror podcast, Body Count, we did for like 7 years, from like 2010 to like 2017. So I'm still in like all these horror groups and circles and stuff. And so, but I never saw much about it. I had seen the title and was interested. And, so when I was picking all my 70s movies, it was all 70s movies I've never seen before. It was what I picked for this fall. And so I had to dig kind of deep, you know? And so I picked it and put it on the list. John picked it for our podcast, probably mid-August, you know, so we knew we were going to podcast about it right away in the beginning of September. And then just from like mid-August, I see it every other day. Like I think one Scream Factory or somebody has a new Blu-ray coming out. Like it's just all, and I work at a library now, so I've been checking out books. Every like horror book that talks about horror movies like has this in there, folk horror, whatever, you know. It's so weird that it's something that wasn't really on my radar until this year, and now I do see it a lot this year for whatever reason.
It's funny. I guess it's like one of those things where you think I never see yellow cars, but once you put that in your head, they're everywhere.
Yeah, it's the correlation today. You start looking for yellow cars and they're everywhere. Exactly. Like I wonder if it's always been there, and in my mind I've just been like, I don't know what that is. I'm not going to pay attention to that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 EPs so far this year. Is there new Christmas music coming?
Christmas music is coming. And in fact, something cool that we have a surprise single coming out next week. What is today? Today is Sunday. This week, I mean, a few days. We don't usually release music between Halloween and Christmas, like other than that, right?
Right.
We did the Thanksgiving song 1 year, 1621. I don't think there's been a whole lot of music release, maybe a cover here and there, maybe that Tom Petty cover that we did. It seems like maybe we did that in November. But yeah, between like October 1st and Christmas Day, it's usually holiday stuff. But we have something really cool coming out next week. And then Christmas stuff will come out in November. And then we're going to focus on something really cool for like opening day. At least have something fun for that. And then I really want to make 2025 fun. We're going to do some, we don't play a whole lot of live shows, but I'm going to do some more live stuff next year just to, you know, 10 years, got to do something to kind of celebrate.
How about Ralphie's Red Riders? Anything going on there?
We'll definitely do a song. You know, we'll do at least one. We did two last year. That was fun. We, uh, We played a show in November last year with the Dolly Rots. It was in November we played the Dolly Rots, and Mark came in from Atlanta, and we added a new band member, Pat. And so it was a really fun, it was a fun time. First time getting together as a full band since the pandemic. And so we had a lot of fun, and I had a Ralphie's Red Rider song written. And then we were just at band practice, which is how it always happens, is like they throw out an idea to me and I have to do it. So I had the song, and then Reese, our drummer, said, or Pat, one of them said, you need to do a Not a Finger, Not a Finger, and like just like an instrumental, but just the dad yelling, when the dad's yelling the whole time. And I said, I'll do it. I said, but Reese has to be the dad. And they said, yeah. So we did. So we actually did two songs last year, which is different. You know, we did the full length in 2020 and then just one song each year after that. We'll do at least one song. I mean, that's going to be every year. We'll do a Ralphie's Red Riders. And eventually we really, really, you know, part of the whole thing was the Home Alones in Atlanta really inspired me. And I really, you know, the pandemic happened right when we started this band. And so we just haven't been playing live a lot. But the whole thing was to get to Atlanta, or they come here and play a show with the Home Alone. We really want to do a Home Alones / Ralphie's Red Riders live show. Yeah.
You know,
so that would be fun. Maybe that won't be this year. Maybe next year, you know, maybe that'll be something cool that we can add next year. But that's sort of the goal.
I jumped into that. And for anybody who doesn't know, can you sort of explain who Ralphie's Red Riders are?
Yeah. So again, you know, we do a lot of theme music. As you said, we had a lot of baseball songs, a lot of Christmas, a lot of Halloween. So Ralphie's Red Riders was, you know, I really fell in love with the Home Alones, who were only writing songs about Home Alone. They only had like six. They had one EP. It was all about Home Alone. Go to YouTube or Bandcamp and check out Fuller Easy on the Pepsi. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. They're great. And so even when I teach my students about writing, when I was a teacher, just take this telescope, right? And the more you zoom in, right, the better effect you might have on your audience. And so this allowed us to take Christmas. We had a song about Home Alone, right? We had made my Family Disappear. And I had that before I even found the Home Alones. I just love the idea of not just Christmas movies, right? We have Nobody Likes Booster. We have songs about a bunch of Christmas movies. But just to now start a new project where we focus in, we take this telescope and we zoom way in and just only write about this movie. And I think Home Alone and Christmas Story are two examples where I could take any like 10 seconds of that movie and write a song about it, you know? And so they had Home Alone already covered and they did a great job. And so I said, you know, I'm definitely just kind of stealing your idea. And I think it was a joke on Facebook. I was like, I'm going to start a rival band. We're going to be Ralphie's Red Riders. And so they were like, you should do it. And so we did, you know, during the pandemic, that summer, 2020, I just recorded the whole album. I had time. I wasn't doing much else. And so we did that whole album like in June of 2020, and it came out in November later that year. And it's just like, yeah, it's just a lot of fun just writing about a movie that everybody watches a million times every year and knows every line. And there are just all these references. Some people call it like fan fiction in some way. I just think it's Gene Shepard just providing great inspiration line after line, you know? And so it's something I could revisit over and over. You know, we did an album about the Outsiders called Stay Gold. Mm-hmm. And we worked really hard on this album and we're really happy about it, how it came out, and it's gotten a great response. But on podcasts and blogs and stuff, when people talk to me about it, I'll say the big difference is I don't think I can revisit The Outsiders. Like, I think I pulled everything out of that I could get. I think it's 11 or 12 songs. It's 10 songs. I said, I think I did everything I could do with it. I don't think I could do a sequel. But with Ralphie's Red Riders, every year I could do a song or two. I mean, you send me a 30-second clip of that movie and I could write a song about it. It's great.
Well, I think both of those movies, A Christmas Story and Home Alone, most of us have seen them so many times and we love them and we watch them every Christmas and we know them backwards and forwards, that you're right. There are so many lines, not just the big lines, but, you know, incidental things that we all just love, and they're instantly recognizable. You know, the first thing I see on the Ralphie Red Rider's Bandcamp page is they traded Bullfrog, and immediately I know where that's from. I know, I can hear him saying that. It's just one of those things.
What you're saying is true. I was on, it was a podcast, Jingle. Oh man, I forget. I'm sorry. They don't have it anymore, but I was on their podcast, and, actually, I think they were just reviewing it on this one, and they were talking about each song, and they got to that song, and they said one of them didn't know it, and apparently that scene gets cut from TV. Do you know?
No,
yeah. Apparently, if you like the TBS every year, the marathon. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Bullfrog, because he comes out with the sports page, right?
Right.
And and so one of the hosts knew the movie, knew every reference on the album, except for that he didn't know where that came from. And the other host had to tell him, I know it's like a cut scene. And I didn't know they were cutting scenes for the TV. It kind of makes sense because, you know, they get commercials in. And honestly, yeah, that baseball talk literally has nothing to do with anything else, right? Like, it just shows him and the dad and how he is, which is why I wrote the song. Also, that was 2020. We knew we were doing Ralphie's Red Riders that year. This was right before the pandemic. Right. This is like February of 2020. And we thought it would be funny that Vista Blue didn't have this is the one year Vista Blue didn't have a baseball song. We wanted to introduce this new band we were doing, Ralphie's Red Riders. So our new Christmas band that was coming later in 2020 had a baseball song. But that was how we introduced it. And then, of course, like, there was no opening day because of the pandemic. So from the time we recorded it to the time we went to release it, baseball was dead, and so it kind of didn't matter anyway, and it kind of slipped through, and then we just had to wait till November 1st when we released the whole album.
It was just so funny looking at a couple of the recent singles from Ralphie's Red Riders, Pulverized, Triple Dog Dare, I Didn't Say Fudge. All of those instantly takes me to that point in the movie. Instantly.
And they're all ones where, like, when we did the full length, then everybody was like, hey, you didn't have a Didn't Say Fudge song. Hey, you didn't know, you know, like, everybody wanted to tell me what we missed. So it's like I have this back catalog now of things that I need to catch up on. So Not a Finger was one of, you know, on the I Didn't Say Fudge, that's the one where the second song, Not a Finger. So, Not a Finger.
So there's a new Ralphie's Red Rider song on the way and new Christmas music from Vista Blue. You mentioned the podcast, Snow in Southtown. What's coming up with that?
So again, we're doing all 70s, mm-hmm, and it's going to be a lot of fun because, again, it's sort of a neglected decade, I think. And when we got into it, because we do 8 episodes, we go weekly starting November 1st, you know? And so we had to fill 8 weeks of 70s stuff, and we do like a movie or a TV show or a special, and then we each pick 2 songs for each episode plus some other stuff that we'll do, right? So, I mean, so when we dug in, we actually, you know, it wasn't the easiest to like pick quality stuff, you know. It's like we felt like we were digging deep just with that, and so it kind of showed us why, you know, maybe the 70s is sort of, and you know, we've covered stuff along the way, of course, you know, like we've hit most of the big ones, and the thing that we hadn't hit yet, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, and it's 1970, so it barely got in there, but we'll find that's just one. This is our 6th year of the podcast, and we hadn't covered that, so we'll get to that when we get to most of the big Rankin Bass, but that one we just never got to. So, you know, so that's like one of the big ones that we hadn't covered. We're going to do my favorite Christmas horror movie, Black Christmas. So it's just going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be, really, to me, it was about the 70s music and digging into stuff that we know, but then also like a lot of stuff that we didn't know. And the 70s just had a lot of, like, they were just cranking out studios and production companies cranking out like these albums, and you have all these weird things like the Fun Street Gang and the Candy Cane Kids or something, like like all these weird groups where nobody really knows who they were, kind of like an Archie's situation where you hear the music but you have no idea who's playing it. And there's a lot of sort of that stuff in the 70s that you have to wade through, and we're going to be talking a little bit about some of that. I am a big Beach Boys fan, so the Beach Boys come up a lot on our podcast. And the 70s is just like a dead period for the Beach Boys, but there's some stuff we're going to talk about there. It's just going to be fun to dig back. So like I said, like all year we've been doing this, we've been building up to it. in August, we covered a 100 song Billboard Top 100 from August 1974. So we went back 50 years. We brought in Jerry from the Totally Rad podcast, and we just went through a 100 song Billboard list, and we just picked like our favorites and songs we didn't like. And so just all year we've been gearing up for this, and we're ready to jump in. I'm sure we'll be sick of it by the end, but it's been something that I've been looking forward to all year, just digging into this decade when we were both born. And something really cool that's going to add to it is Rusty is wrapping up a project that he's been working on all year. He is turning 50 in January, and so all year he's been working on this album that he's releasing on his birthday, with 50 songs, one song representing each year. And so as we are wrapping up our year of the 70s, he will be wrapping up this 50 song project that he has taken on this year, that I'm so impressed that he's done it. You know, I keep saying it's inspiring me that I'm going to have to do it. I don't know. I write a lot of songs, and that's just really intimidating. So I'm proud of him, and I can't wait to hear it all. He checks in with me with the progress. And so as I've been doing this Vista Blue stuff all year, he's been working on this all year, and we keep checking in about the podcast. So the next 2 months are just going to be so fun as we do our Christmas podcast. I do our Christmas music. He maybe does some Christmas music, and he wraps up this 50-year project that he's doing. So it's just going to be a lot of fun, all rooted in the 70s.
You know, the thing about the 70s is that it's pre-MTV.
Yeah.
For most people, it was pre-cable. And it hasn't gotten the attention in movies and TV like the 60s did, or the 50s. There was that 70s show, but that was about it. There's some nostalgia for the era, but there hasn't been really putting it under the microscope and putting out all of these documentaries or just insights into that decade. So a lot of the stuff is lost or just waiting for somebody to remember it.
You're right. I mean, I never got into that 70s show. Maybe I should check it out. But like, I think I love Dazed and Confused. And I think part of the reason why maybe that has such a big effect on people like me is because there's not a whole lot of it. Like you said, like, I love like Freaks and Geeks. I think that's 80, right? I think I think that's 1980. So it's like, there's not a whole lot of, because Freaks and Geeks does such a good job as well. But yeah, Dazed and Confused is really just one of the few examples. And it's something about, like, just compared to the 60s and then the 80s, like, I don't know. Like, there's just, like, the quality will drop off a lot. It seems like there was, I don't know, like even, like, Brady Bunch and stuff. Like, it just seems kind of, like, mailed in, where I'm sure if I sit down and binge a day of the Brady Bunch, I would get into it, right? I'm sure it's not bad. It's not terrible, but I just think it lacks the charm of some stuff from the 60s and then the 80s in my mind. I don't know. And it can't just be me, because like I said, like when you look across Christmas podcasting in general, it's very just neglected. But then I think there's a reason when we're digging through it. Like it was kind of hard to really make sure we're picking stuff that was going to be quality enough for us to sit through. And that's not all, you know, sometimes we pick bad stuff because it's fun to talk about, but yeah, I mean, we were scraping, you know, because we hadn't talked about like the John Lennon song, you know, so we have that we can talk about. And I love the Elton John song, and we haven't really covered the Jackson 5. So there's a lot of great stuff that we finally get to. But, you know, there's going to be some stuff that we're going to talk about that isn't Jackson 5 or Elton John.
No, really, the other things about the 70s is that there was a great nostalgia in the 70s for the 50s. So two of the biggest TV shows were Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, which were set in the 50s. And Grease was one of the big movies, which was set in the 50s. So there was a lot of that nostalgia for that, instead of creating something that was set in the 70s.
Even American Graffiti, right? 60s.
Yeah, American Graffiti.
Right. It's like some of my favorite 70s stuff, right, is thinking back to other stuff.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Sony has been doing these compilations. Last year, they did three really extensive compilations, digital releases of Christmas music from the 50s, stuff I had never heard before. Just amazing. And they're turning their sights on the 60s this year. They've already released the first one, and it's incredible. I'm hoping that somehow that they do the 70s next year and we get a lot of stuff that we missed or forgot. That would be terrific.
No, yeah. I mean, that's what got me into this was this Spotify playlist. And I've talked about it on our show a lot. It's called just Fa La 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 La. And yeah, I just stumbled upon it. Now it's 60s and 70s. So I just let it play. It's hours and hours. A lot of it's from the 60s. And that makes sense that appeals to me because that's just what I really love is the 60s, right? Beatles, Beach Boys, all of that. But, you know, and then like the 70s, you know, I love the Carpenters. But other than that, you know, I love like Big Star. They don't, you know, they were barely around for more than a couple of years. They didn't do like a big Christmas thing. Most of the bands that I like from the 70s didn't really do anything. You know, like I said, the Beach Boys were just like doing nothing most of the 70s. So yeah, there's just not, as far as what I like and what appeals to me naturally outside of like the Carpenters, right? Or like a Black Christmas or a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Just like in general, the stuff that I like that appeals to me kind of went dormant in the 70s, right? But there is a lot of like building blocks there. Like when we talked about Let's Scare Jessica to Death, I mean, we could see that it took from a little bit of Romero and Night of the Living Dead, but we could also trace it up to like Carrie and Friday the 13th, kind of, you know. And so we could definitely see building blocks there, just not as popular or not as, you know, even like the quality we enjoyed. I enjoyed Let's Scare Jessica to Death, but John didn't. He thought it was boring. And he likes almost everything, you know. And so he likes everything. So, you know, I just think the quality is not where we're used to in the 60s and the 80s. And also, I think that it doesn't, other than like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre or a Black Christmas or something, like the impact, you know, there's not much impact like that sticks with you. And, you know, we talked about that on our podcast as well. It's like, we can see building blocks there, but like, it's not scary to us today, where you could go back to like some Hitchcock, you can go back to some Universal in the 30s and 40s where like you can see it's like kind of scary, you know, and like a lot of the 70s stuff that I'm watching is goofy. Yeah, again, there's some good examples, but a lot of the quality dips for me. And so I can see why it is neglected overall.
I think with music in the 70s, it started to become an era where the artists felt like they had power and it was starting to tip away from the labels. And many of them kind of felt like Christmas music was beneath them. They didn't see the point of it. So some of the biggest artists like the Eagles begrudgingly did a cover of Please Come Home for Christmas, and that was it. They didn't want to hear about anything else. Stones never did a Christmas album. The Beach Boys did one and didn't release it. That didn't come out till like 20 years later. So many of the artists just didn't want to do that, didn't see the point. Nobody explain to them that, you know, Christmas music comes up every year and there are more sales every year that will be then built in. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it. And we talked about that last year in our podcast about the idea of the Christmas single outlasting everything else that you're ever going to do. That if you get one hit Christmas song, like a Wham or even, you know, they were talking about everything from Brenda Lee through Wham through, you know, Mariah Carey, but even like future projections for like an Ariana Grande or a Kelly Clarkson, like 50 years from now, you're not going to know any of their songs, but you'll know that Underneath the Tree, right? Like you'll know those Christmas songs. It's amazing.
Yeah. And they come up every year. I have a friend on Twitter. I guess it's X, formerly known as Twitter, who is a big fan of Sia. And she has been posting every day that Sia's Christmas album has this many hundreds of thousands of streams, that Candy Cane Lane and Ho 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 are some of the top songs being streamed on Spotify. And I'm not familiar enough with her to know what her hit songs are. I probably know them if I heard them, but I know those songs. And 10 years from now, I'll know those songs. And 20 years, I'll know them. But it is the Christmas singles come back year after year after year, and they just seem to get bigger.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know one song by that artist off the top of my head. I mean, maybe I would if I heard it, but no, that's exactly it. It's like you would know there are so many artists that come up on Christmas radio every year that I wouldn't listen to anything else, right? But all right, I'll leave this on. I like this one. So yeah, and they get in, you know, like if you get into like the streaming behind it and all, like, because that's what it's coming down to now is streaming. Yeah. And so they're gonna outlast anything else.
Before we wrap it up, what else, and we've talked about so much that is on the way, is there anything that we've missed that you want to mention?
No. I mean, that's really, I'm focusing right now, you know, just trying to do as much as I can. You know, my job situation got crazy this year, and I'm trying to get that settled and figured out and just kind of get back into I got two kids that started college recently and one in high school. And so just life is taking. So I'm just trying to focus everything I can when I can on Vista Blue and Snow in Southtown. So we do something cool that we have coming out that I haven't really posted anything about yet, but I can say here, I'll be talking about on our podcast. We're doing a picture book for one of our songs called My Dad Listens to the Ramones. And it's a Vista Blue song. So Charlie, who does the Closer to Christmas podcast, he's a great artist. He is doing the art for this picture book. And so Charlie from Closer to Christmas and I are doing, it's called My Dad Listens to the Ramones. And I don't know the timeline. He sent me some sketches and they're just amazing. He is so talented. So I don't know the timeline. I don't know if this is something we can have together by Christmas or just early next year or some point next year. But that's something that I'm really looking forward to that I'll be posting a lot about I used to be a writer and I haven't done a lot of writing recently. But so, you know, I would like to get back into something like that. So yeah, a lot of Vista Blue, a lot of Snow in Southtown. I don't know, you know, after this year of the 70s, I don't know where we'll go next, but it's been a really fun year. But I'm sure I'll be happy to get out of the 70s in 2 months.
Who were there, we were all happy to get out of the 70s.
Exactly right. Rusty's project, like I'm going to be posting a lot about that in January. Yeah, that I mean, 50 songs, one song about each year. That's crazy. I can't remember some years. Well, I wouldn't even know what to write about some years, you know, and so the fact that he's writing one song to represent each year of his life, that's amazing. And I'm so lucky to have friends like Rusty, who does the podcast and helps me write songs. A song that I got coming out this week, I kind of made him write with me. I just kind of like hijack my friends on podcasts and then messages like, hey, help me write this song. And, you know, so people like Rusty to do the podcast and the guys in my band, Mark and Reese and Pat, and just everybody who pitches in all the time to help. Yeah. I'm just really lucky to have these people that I can like do these things I need to do every day. And then there's like one day shoot a message with this stupid idea that I have and they'll go, oh yeah, all right, I'll do that. Yeah. So that's about what I have going on right now.
I'm going to put links down in the show notes to the Vista Blue Bandcamp page and Ralphie's Red Riders and also to Snow in Southtown. Are those the best places for people to connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can email me if you want to put that as radiantradish@yahoo. That's the best way to get in touch with me. But yeah, I mean, like Spotify is where all our music is. And then, of course, Bandcamp. We don't put the covers mostly on Spotify or, you know, the streaming, any Apple or anything. Because the covers, you have to buy licenses. We did buy a license for the Ministry cover. So if you're looking for Halloween music, it's not up yet because it's delayed. But when it gets there, if you guys could go stream the new Halloween stuff for us. We'd like to see how that does by buying that license for that cover and see if that's worth it. Cause that's sort of a debate with independent musicians right now is it worth it to even pay for that, to have that stuff streaming? Cause right now Bandcamp doesn't do anything, but I'm sure there's a day where Bandcamp's going to crack down on that and not let you post covers anymore. So yeah. So if you guys, when that hits streaming, if you guys could go stream that for us, that would be great. But yeah, get in touch with me. You can find us on Bandcamp, Facebook, all of that stuff.
Okay, when you go to stream that, the new EP is called They Came Back, and it's by Vista Blue.
That's us. We came back every year. We never stop.
And, you know, there are plenty of us who are grateful.
Well, and I appreciate that there are people like you who still talk about my nonsense, and I'm really honored to be on this show.
You know, I have to tell you, I don't usually tell artists this, but two of the Vista Blue songs, right now we're playing Halloween music on the Sounds of Christmas. It's the Sounds of Halloween.
Yeah.
And two of your songs are among the most popular right now. I'm Gonna Be You for Halloween and The Hook.
Oh, cool. The Hook, yeah. That's when we did the first set of Urban Legend songs, people were like, how'd you not do a song called The Hook? Like that. So I was like, okay, guess I'll do The Hook. Yeah, I love all those Urban Legends, Scary Stories. And then, yeah, I'm Gonna Be You for Halloween. That's a really fun one. I like playing that one live.
So. Well, I'm looking forward to the new Christmas music, of course, and I'll be posting about it as soon as you post about it, or as soon as you let me know, I can post about it.
Thanks so much. I love the show. You know, you had my friends on, the Stevens, and
yeah,
they're great. They're awesome. We've played shows together, and they play with the guy in my band, Pat. They play in Pat's band. Like, so we all see each other at shows and stuff, and they're a lot of fun. Seth is actually, he's talking about starting a rival band called Vista Red. And so we might, you might have to have us both on where we're like, talk it out one day, you know. And, but I've preempted it. I've got a song ready, talking bad about Vista Red. So if they ever start the band, we're going to drop the song. So don't worry. We got it. We're ready.
If you haven't heard that podcast before, you don't know who the Stevens are. The Stevens are a band who do all of their songs are based on the works of Stephen King.
Yeah, they're great. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're terrific. All right, Mike, thank you so much for giving us some time today. I'm going to put links down to all your stuff down in the show notes so people can check you out. And remember, when you go to your favorite streaming sites, to look up Vista Blue.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Halloween and Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page, and I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. And that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. If you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.